Good, good. Do you want to have some fun today on the radio?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, let's do it.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temper too.
Get up and go. It's today, you know. On KSCO Radio.
And a multi-topicked program we have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. No guest, but we are going to have a guest host, a good friend of mine, who was in the broadcasting business for many years. So I invited him to join us as a co-host today. And I've got a list of possible topics here for your edification. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
How presumptuous of me. I didn't even tell you who I am. It's almost like you'll know who I am without my even saying who I am.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Z.
Welcome to hour number one of the KSCO KOMY Saturday Special on your favorite radio station. Hey, what is your favorite? Now, it's two radio stations that are pretty different now. KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340. They were both conservative talk radio stations up until about 2 weeks ago when we pulled the switch and made KOMY a liberal talk radio station for the benefit of all you liberal people out there. And I must say, life has been different around these parts. Suddenly we're heroes to a lot of people who've never even heard of us. Suddenly we're heroes to people who have heard of us and have been after us to make this change for quite some time. And so who knows? What I can tell you is that the comment line at 429-2222 has been working overtime. In fact, it has been just about thoroughly congested because too many people. I mean, just so many people are calling to say thank you or whatever. Some people are quite upset actually. Here I'm going to throw out some topics today. These are any one of these things you might want to talk about here. It's going to be a caller-driven show here, and here are some suggested topics. Okay, I want to thank Roger Grigsby who came up with this idea. Have we lost our country? Have we lost our country? A lot of people are feeling that we've lost our country, the good old USA, and if so, to whom? And why? To whom and why have we lost our country? Have we lost it to the illegal immigrants? Have we lost it to communist Marxists? Have we lost it to China? Have we lost it to the Islamic terrorists? Yeah. What do you think? 479-1080, 477-1340. Either of those numbers will connect you to our radio station here. Now, 2 weeks into the new KOMY liberal talk radio format, I want to share with you some of the more strident comments. I don't have the calls, actually. We might be able to play some of them later on. But there were a number of people who said that they will no longer listen to KOMY nor KSCO. Right, because they're angry that KOMY is now a liberal station. But does the logic escape you like it escapes me? Now, here at KSCO and KOMY, we have always prided ourselves in having the most intelligent audience that there can possibly be in radio. In fact, the reason that we have the most intelligent audience is by design, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me say this before. We do not permit stupid people to listen to KSCO or KOMY. Now, for someone to get so upset at the format change from KOMY from conservative talk radio to liberal talk radio, and get so upset that they not only will not listen to KOMY, but they won't listen to KSCO either, is, it's just indicative that they're not very intelligent people. So they technically do not qualify as listeners to either station, though I must admit we have been making exceptions for KOMY recently. In any case, let me welcome my good friend R.L. Karen.
Hey, MD, good morning.
How are you, R.L.? You're in Naples,
great.
Florida, and I think the last, am I correct that the last time you were on was with Peter Werby and me?
It may be that far back.
Gosh, that was like 2001.
There may have been, well, it may have been one time between then.
Uh-huh.
I always check the weather forecast. Are you really at 57 degrees over there?
Yeah, I needed the heat. You laughed when you were out here last, that it was in August a couple of years ago, I think.
We went through the entire winter here without getting that cold.
Yeah. and that you were laughing because we had the heat on, or at least I had the heat on in my fog and shrouded house.
Yeah, I don't think we used the heat at all last winter.
Well, so how long ago? It was about 15, 16 years ago that you lived here when you were running.
1986, 87, 88, whatever that works out to be.
You were a principal in the company that owned KSCO at that time. Not
yes,
KOMY,
we were.
But yes, KSCO, and there was a KSCO FM called KLRS,
yeah.
FM 99.1.
An interesting experiment that was, and maybe we're a bit ahead of our time. It's still a viable format. Matter of fact, almost every town now has what is now known as light jazz. We pioneered that.
It was very popular here, but popular ratings-wise.
A critical success and a commercial disaster.
Yeah. How can there be such a thing? I suppose, you know, that might happen with our liberal radio format on KOMY now, because we might get ratings, but we might not make any money from advertisers.
The first incarnation of any invention, any innovation, is almost always a failure.
Uh-huh.
It has to be done in steps, and the public has to become accepting of it. In this case, the listeners were ahead of the clients. The advertisers weren't sure at all that this was worth advertising on. But nonetheless, it was a fun thing to have done, and it only lasted about a year before we ran out of gas.
Uh-huh.
Had we been able to stick it out a couple of 3 years, I think it would still be there.
These days, you are retired and probably have a little more time to listen to the radio than you did back when you were in the thick of radio, right?
I do, and there's a lot more variety now with the satellite stations as well as regular AM and FM. So, yeah, I do an awful lot of listening.
And you were always a techno king, so you always had the latest gadgets of regardless whether it was the latest laptop or the latest satellite.
I'm a little less cutting edge today than I was, because you can't afford to buy every new gadget that comes down the pike, not to mention the fact that 90% of them don't work. But satellite radio is interesting. I think that's a topic for a whole other day.
Yeah. But briefly, do you think that's much of a threat? I think that threat has passed. A few months ago, there was talk throughout the radio industry
that satellite radio will be the death of free over-the-air broadcasting by a long shot.
As Howard Stern has said.
No, it'll take its place alongside of regular broadcasting. But I think both satellite radio and over-the-air broadcasting are facing a much bigger threat from the wireless internet, because when that finally is implemented in a widespread fashion, that could be in the next 3 years or 5 years,
right,
or even sooner.
It's pretty awkward right now to listen to the radio through your cell phone, but you can. I have a cell phone where
remember that broadcasting also was very awkward to listen to back in the 20s, when you had to have a cat whisker and a long antenna and a pair of earphones to listen to AM broadcast through the static. But eventually that became easy to push a button, turn the radio on, and listen to it. And internet radio stations will, I think, in very short order be as easily available without having to be the techno nerd to know how to set up the network.
Sure.
and all of that. So those who are saying that satellite radio is going to crush regular broadcasting, I think, are way off base, because satellite will face the same exact problem. They and broadcasters together have a monopoly on distribution, but that's about to end. And when it does, and I think it'll be a good day when that arrives, because then everyone will compete on an equal basis based on content and programming. And ultimately, that's really what it's all about. So I don't listen to AM or FM or satellite. I listen for the content. It turns out that satellite right now has a great variety of sports programming. I enjoy baseball, and I'm able to hear any game on any day through the satellite radio. And also a lot of the talks programs.
Yeah.
On both sides. They have one channel called America Left, another channel called America Right. Not unlike what you are now doing with Santa Cruz Right and Left, right there in that market.
Interesting, yeah. Well, you know, we would have made this change more than a year ago. In fact, when Air America first announced that it was actually going to launch, I tried to get the Al Franken program, and I was told that I had to take all or nothing, basically. And I said, well, that's not going to happen. That attitude changed more recently, so we were able to cut a deal a couple of weeks ago. But what do you think about the commercialism of liberal talk radio, if you will? I'm curious about what you as a broadcaster might think about that, because isn't it true that we've had liberal talk radio all along? It's called NPR.
Oh, certainly.
Uh-huh.
And we have liberal television, we have liberal newspapers, all of whom seem to survive just nicely. So I don't know that there's much to it. Certainly the conservative side of talk radio got off to a jump start with Rush Limbaugh and his followers and imitators. So there's that aspect of it. But any programming that generates an audience should be attractive to advertisers, whether or not it espouses one particular viewpoint. I understand that some advertisers will only advertise if it's a conservative show or vice versa.
Right.
But that's not sound thinking. If you spend money advertising, your goal should be only to move goods, to get people into your store, to sell items, to motivate people to do something, buy something, go somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it shouldn't matter what their political preference is. So it's my thinking that, especially in that area, that if this becomes a critical success, which I can't imagine it wouldn't, then it should be, it should follow that it would be a commercial success as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, what were you saying, RL? I'm just having a quick thing here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed you. Probably said, what are you doing?
As I say, I just don't believe that any program that generates a good, loyal audience would not be a good prospect for advertisers.
Right, right.
And that you should be able to enjoy both sides of all of that with your new lineup.
Right.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, that's good. Well, give us a call if you want to weigh in on this topic, the future of broadcasting, 479-1080 or 477-1340. It's the Saturday special with MZ and RL on your favorite radio stations. AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY. here's something that one of the callers to the comment line, RL, said it was irresponsible for us to broadcast unsubstantiated charges by Air America radio hosts of ongoing terrible treatment of prisoners, you know, raping and pillaging of people at the Abu Ghraib prison by our people in charge.
Well, that's the silly side of the argument. It seems that parties out of power have to get silly. I don't understand why it's necessary to go that far, but it certainly has. The national debate is of as poor quality as I've ever heard anywhere. Now let's remember that the Republicans got all tied up in knots over Bill Clinton's behavior in the Oval Office. Certainly, this offense, such as it was, if you want to call it that, this behavior did not amount to an impeachable offense. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the outcome of the impeachment proved that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was silly to make a big deal of that. And now, the other side, instead of promoting ideas about how this country could be an even better place, how we could better serve the people and so forth. The debate centers around silly things.
Yeah.
And to be hand-wringing and endlessly complaining and finger-pointing at how people who want to kill us are treated is insane.
Yeah. Well, the phone lines are pretty much loaded up now here, so
let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's talk to John and Carmel. Welcome to the Saturday special, Carmel John with MZ and RL.
Hi, MZ.
Hey.
I'd like to give you a couple heads up. First of all, I enjoy your mother's editorials. They're outstanding. I copied a couple of them, sent them to friends of mine back east. As far as you going with the liberal side of it, you know, I listened to Al Franken, and I don't think they really have content. You know, I think it's okay. I don't think you'll get good advertisers on it. As far as Rush Limbaugh goes, it was funny. I go to Europe quite a bit. I'm a retired airline pilot, and they listen to him over there. And again, I think what the difference is I don't think liberals really work on facts. They work on theory more so than facts. It's just like this last gentleman said that what happened to President Clinton, that wasn't right.
Yeah, he's still on, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what it wasn't about what the crime was. The crime was the lie. Matter of fact, I think it was parallel to what President Nixon did. He lied, and we can't have people do that. And there was no reason for him to lie. Both of those guys, there was no reason for them to lie. But to get back to your liberal radio, you know, I'm outraged that my tax dollars have to go to NPR and PBS. They promote things that I don't like. They promote sexual things that I don't like. And my tax dollars go to them. It's just like they got their money back. And, you know, when I talk to liberals, I say, how would you feel if you had to support Rush Limbaugh? What, 15%? And what people don't know is those things keep growing and growing. I think, what did Big Bird bring in? $3 billion, and that's enough to support the whole system? Or this old house, that's enough to support the system? And we have to pay tax dollars for it. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, there it is. Again, you guys do a great service. I'm glad. Get your mom on there more.
Now, wait a minute. Now, RL wants to respond, I think.
Sure.
He started to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I agree. I think he's made some good points. But the larger issue is that this is all part of the good old American debate. This is all
part of the
fact that we have the ability and the means and essentially the government's blessings to criticize it from both aspects.
Sure.
That's good.
What I also like is I, as a conservative, finally have a voice. I'm an older guy. I went to Vietnam, and when I went to college after on the VA bill, it was hell. They gave me a hard time because these people didn't understand. I think the biggest sin that we've committed was to leave those people in Vietnam. What most people don't understand is 1 million people went into concentration camps almost immediately because of that. God knows how many got killed. The Pol Pot probably wouldn't have happened if we were over there. Again, I don't agree how we got launched in there with Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Johnson and how they ran it, but the fact is we got stuck with it. And I think we left those people hung out to dry, and I think it was wrong. There you go.
Hey, thank you, Carmel John, for your kind words and your participation on the Saturday special. That was John and Carmel. We're going to take a commercial break now, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. We will be back in just a few moments.
In today's world of instant gratification and fast foods, who has time to have a healthy meal or snack while on the go? Sure, you could go to the drive-thru and stuff more deep-fried sugar-saturated junk into your face, but your body's hungry for real food, for protein. Here's pharmacist Ben Fuchs telling us about the importance of protein.
Protein comes in different types. There's whey protein, there's egg protein, there's a vegetable-based protein, but by far and away the most important protein for many reasons is the protein that we call whey protein. Now, whey is a byproduct of the cheese-making process. Milk is converted into cheese by producing two different proteins, casein and whey. Casein is a gummy, cheesy kind of protein. It has a sort of curd-like quality. And then whey is a liquidy protein. It has a watery quality. And this curd-like protein that we call casein is actually what accounts for a lot of milk allergies and problems that people have with milk. Whey, on the other hand, that's the liquid portion, is a very non-allergenic form of protein and very, very easily digestible. And you know what else? When you eat protein for breakfast first thing in the morning, you stay fuller longer. When you have some kind of refined carbohydrate, some kind of floury food, bready food, cereal kinds of foods for breakfast, you feel like you need to have a snack around 10 or 11 o'clock. And indeed, that's what happens. So breakfast is a real important meal, and it's not that difficult to make sure that your kids are getting a good breakfast. I really do like these powdered formulas that you can put into water and drink, especially because there's not a lot of dishes to wash.
American Longevity's Ultimate Nature's Way is the ultimate source of protein, even higher than eggs. Mix the chocolate or vanilla flavored Ultimate Nature's Way with water, milk, or juice for a meal or healthy snack. It's perfect for helping you with your food cravings, and at $31.50 wholesale, it's perfect for your pocketbook. Feed your body what it needs. Protein. With American Longevity's Ultimate Nature's Way. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
Do you like pets? Are you a pet fanatic? We've got a segment of Good Morning Monterey Bay just for you. It's Pet Talk with Angeline Siegel, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. Learn about puppies and kittens, vacationing with your pet, exercise, the best thing to feed your animal, and other issues like dealing with a senior dog. These are just some of the topics that Angeline will address during Pet Talk, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. That's Tuesday mornings at 7:45 during Good Morning Monterey Bay.
Hi, this is Bill Graff, KSCO's production director. Look, I could give you a lot of hoo-ha about how great our computer system is here. Bottom line is this. We have enough computers in this building that if our computers didn't work right, we'd be in a world of hurt. And our computers generally work pretty well. And when they don't, we can give a call to Dennis and the guys at Day and Night Computer, and they come over and fix them right away. We don't have to wait any time of the day or night. You know, that's nice for a business like ours that's so heavily dependent on computers and technology. Look, you can do whatever you want. My advice to you, though, is to call Dennis if you have a computer question or a computer problem, or if you just want him to build you a computer. And best of all, he'll save you time and money, and I suppose that's what it's really all about. The more money you save and the less downtime you have, the more profitable your company will be. If you don't have a company, hey, time is money at home, too. Remember that. Talk to Day and Night Computers. Call 465-7340. That's 465-7340. Do yourself a favor.
And back to the Saturday Special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Hey there. Thank you very much, Michael. Hey, you know, I've been meaning to say, that's a very disarming statement that Bill Graff made in that last commercial for Day and Night Computer. Think about it. If you're concerned, that if you're about to have a fight with somebody, all you really need to do is say, look, you can do whatever you want, but isn't that disarming? I mean, I think about it.
Hmm.
It's a very disarming statement. Look, you can do whatever you want. Do you agree? Yeah. Do you agree, RL?
Hello.
Do you agree
that
that's a very disarming statement? Look, you can do whatever you want.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, if you're concerned that what you're going to say is going to irritate somebody or cause a fight, if you preface it by those words, look, you can do whatever you want, but. I was just thinking about that. I think that's for anyhow. Welcome back to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and RL, and now Billy in Capitola. Hey, Billy, you're on.
Hey, Bill Graff is a very professional broadcaster.
Oh,
he does a great job.
Yes, he certainly does.
But you kind of explained something to me, Michael.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. First, let me just comment on something you two guys were talking about, and that is the way the media has been and the leftists complaining about the country. You know, that's what the leftists do. The conservatives say, this is the best country that ever was or ever could be. Therefore, of course, we can't fix it, make it any better. And the conservatives, in reaction to that, go, hey, we're responsible, just like we want the Arabs to, you know, look after bin Laden and catch him and complain about him. So should the Americans complain about Bush and his false war that, by the way, I have to pay my taxes for, and I don't want to.
Do you pay taxes, Billy?
Oh, you know, a lot more than I'd care to.
Okay.
And finally this, Michael, and this is what I want you to explain to me. Did you listen to the station yesterday?
No.
So yesterday you had, for the noon hour, you had Vernon on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You spent the hour attacking the liberal programming on that channel. If I were a liberal businessman, I wouldn't want to spend money to hear someone attacking the programming I was trying to get to support.
Oh, my gosh.
You want to explain that to me?
I have no explanation.
Are you going to leave the conservatives?
Right. That's not right.
Are you going to leave the conservatives on the liberal station and then pretend the experiment's working?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, we're going to have to deal with that.
Okay, but
absolutely. Now, wait a minute, RL.
Hello.
Hello.
I've only followed politics for the past 30 or 40 years, so I'm probably too new at this. But
well, I'll help you, RL. No problem.
But I've never been able to reconcile how either the conservatives are all right or all wrong, or the other, or the liberals are all right or all wrong.
Well, obviously that's not the way it is. That's why you don't have to reconcile that.
Okay.
Conservatives are only always hypocritical. They're not always wrong.
Well, I don't think either side has a monopoly on virtue or truth or even common sense.
Well, clearly the liberals have a little more on the virtue side, not necessarily the common sense side, but obviously they're nicer people than the conservatives.
I mean, I'll take a point of view just to anchor the debate and to try to bring out some perspective on any one situation. But I don't do it from the perspective that I have all the answers or only the liberals can run this country properly or vice versa.
No. Well, you know, it's sort of easy to know where you stand. If, for example, you're a religious person, you never question your faith, you never question your position, and I never question the fact that religious people are always wrong when they get into the social part of this country. When they leave their churches and try to tell the rest of us how to behave, they're 100% wrong, never been right, never will be right, because they have no self-control. They're exactly like the religious people on the Arab side, nut bars who we can't allow into the public square.
Can't allow into the public square?
Well, we allow them in there, but we can't allow their opinions. Their crazy opinions are no more based on reality than the Hottentot in Africa who says, I rub this grease on me and the bullets will not penetrate. You know, superstition is just that. It's superstition, and it's not how you build a society. Denial of science is not how you get health for the people in the society. Nobody today is going to be able to stand up and tell us that the stem cell ban makes sense, because it's the one
we're going to get into that hopefully a little later today, and I want to call somebody.
Is there really a ban on stem cell research?
No, there's
federally funded stem cell research. There's a ban on.
There's a ban on the federal funding.
Now maybe you don't understand how research gets done in America. And I can explain that to you if you like.
Some of it is government funded and some of it is privately funded.
Yes, but the part that's privately funded is the part that pays off right away. The part that isn't privately funded, that gets funded by universities and through that the federal government, is the part that doesn't have immediate payoff.
You say it pays off right away. What do you call a drug that has been brought out by, say, Eli Lilly or one of the big drug companies and that has been 10 years in the development? Is that instant gratification, instant profits?
Hell no. But the fact is, nor is it basic research. Are you in denial, RL, about the need for basic research? And who has to pay for it? Are you really going to seriously?
I never thought about it. Maybe I am.
Right.
Tell me how.
Okay.
Well, it's very simple. When you want something done that has a far-off result, then it's important. You know, in other words, did you really think that a private company was going to begin space travel? Was going to take us to the moon? No! That doesn't mean we don't get a lot out of it.
Then you don't know about Bert Rutan in the work he's doing.
Of course I know about Bert Rutan.
Okay.
And Bert Rutan...
But I don't...
You don't understand. Before there's a Bert Rutan, there is all of that money that went into NASA. He built on the beginnings. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. You need the government to start it, and then you get brilliant entrepreneurs who then bring it forward.
Billy, calm down, you're going to get a stroke.
I'm
wait a minute. No, don't go away here. I want to put Vernon on real quickly here. Vernon?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Cube.
Yeah. Vernon, you're with Billy.
Yes.
And MZ and RL.
I can't. Can you hear me?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, good. I'm going to the store today, Billy, and so I'll get you some Q-tips. First of all, I thought that we retained the local programming at noon on Friday. If I am incorrect about that, then I stand corrected, and I will never address any liberal or any liberal politics, okay? But the point yesterday is when you called me the previous Friday, MC, we had a caller that thanked you for the newer, gentler, liberal programming on KOMY. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I spent the entire week listening intently to both Al Franken and Randy Rhodes.
Yes.
And it was my conclusion that Randy was anything but softer and gentler. And that was the focus of the show, not so much to trash talk radio, but to question the assertion that we had newer, gentler talk radio on KOMY because it was now Air America. And that's what Billy didn't hear. At the end of this program, I had a liberal caller call in that just happened to tune me in on the dial, never really listened to me.
A new liberal caller or one of the same old?
No. She says, I don't listen to your station. I was driving down the road and happened to tune you in. You can listen to the last 5 minutes of the show because it's probably recorded down there.
Okay.
And I listened to her very patiently. She questioned and challenged something that I had in fact said. And at the end, I told her, I says, now, if you'll listen, if you go back and you think about this, consider the generosity of the time I've given you in this discussion, which was not the case on the piece, as I used my example from the Randy Rhoads show of a caller she took, wherein she had him on for 11 minutes and gave him probably about 1 minute worth of talking time. So that's all I wanted to say, is that Billy may have heard me attacking Randy Rhoads, but I said regularly over and over and over, because the purpose of the doing the whole show was to point out that I had a hard time seeing that was a new, gentler, kinder talk as opposed to the right-wing hate speech. That was the gist of the show, and I just wanted that on the record, because apparently Billy didn't listen to that part.
Okay. He wants to...
I'm here.
Quickly.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Well, I did listen to it. I listened to the show, and the fact is that I actually agree with you, first of all. Let me be clear about that. I think Randy Rhoads is not exactly softer and more sensitive. It's part of what I like about her. It's interesting that conservatives like yourself find that uncomfortable. She still isn't as mean and nasty as Michael Savage. I'm hoping that she can kick it up a notch. But the question that I'm proposing is your criticism, or analysis, if you will, even, appropriate on this station when we're trying to do a sea change at KSC? I don't know about you, but I care about what happens to the station. Actually, I do know about you. You care, too. And the fact is that if we're going to get this to work, then we've got to be, you know, really pay attention to it and do it right.
By the way,
do the same old thing with this new thing we're having. So what you do is appropriate on the other channel, but it wasn't appropriate for trying to get advertisers on the...
Speaking of advertisers, we haven't received any advertisers yet.
That's
at all. At all in 2 weeks. We did get a pledge of $20 a month yesterday.
Last comment, Ms. Z-Man, is I did think that since our local programming, this is a very strange thing, because if you're going to have a right-wing station or a left-wing station, if you were to put us on KSCO again, which is supposed to be the right-wing station, and you have some of the hosts that tend to lean more to the left than me, then you're going to have someone that's going to complain as, how come you're corrupting a right-wing station with liberal hosts? I thought that you wanted to retain at least 1 hour a day, of the day.
Oy vey. We just have to deal with that. Thanks, guys. Okay. We're going to move on. Here, let's go to... let's see. We've got Ward in Santa Cruz, who's been waiting a while. Ward, welcome to the KSCO KOMY Saturday Special. You are on.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been listening to the Air America shows, and I'm more libertarian, so I really don't care all that much for Rush Limbaugh. I'm a huge, huge Phil Hendry fan, and thank you very much for...
Did you drop the phone? Yes.
And I'm really glad that you've kept him on. But I've been listening to the Air America, and I have to say I'm very disappointed. Although in fairness,
I wish some people who would call who are appointed as opposed to disappointed with Air America. And I know there's a lot of them out there, because we've received hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not exaggerating, of thank yous on our comment line and emails.
Oh, I think it's good that you have them on. I just wish they were better at their job. I mean, Al Franken to me seems like, a poor man's version of a left-wing Rush Limbaugh. You know, they run the show. He tries to run the show similarly. They have...
I don't think it's similar at all. He's got a crutch. He's got a co-host with him all the time, that woman.
Right, I know, but they're trying to accomplish a similar thing. They have the parodies. The production values of the parodies are not very good. And I do like some of the guests that he's had, though. I have to applaud him for the fact that he's had on guests that aren't necessarily parroting the Air America party line.
Yes.
And I like that, and I applaud that. And that, I think, is much better than Limbaugh. Randy Rhodes is, you know, she's kind of boring, really. She's a broken record. She repeats herself frequently. Same old stuff, very predictable. And unlike Mike Savage, I mean, Savage will criticize the president or he'll go off on tangents in other areas that are really kind of separate from politics and goes into philosophy. And he's a, even though I don't really enjoy listening to him all that much because he can be very irritating, he's a very intellectual guy. And I don't see that in Randy Rhodes and in any of the Air America shows. And I find that to be very disappointing. But I'm very glad that you have brought this to the station. And, I certainly am not qualified to question your business judgment in running a radio station. You've been very successful in keeping local control over a good-sized radio station in our area, and I applaud that.
Thank you very much.
Maybe have Billy Sunshine on for an afternoon show on your Air America station, and then we can call in and yell at him.
Okay, thank you very much, Ward, in Santa Cruz. Now we're going to go to somebody who is formerly in the radio business, our good friend, Glenn Fisher. Glenn,
hi.
Hi, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you?
I figured you might want to weigh in.
Great topic. Great show. One point nobody's made so far, but I don't blame the listeners for not making this because they don't think like this, but the key thing is, from a business standpoint, KOMY and KSCO were both going after the same demographic, and you were slicing the same audience into thinner slices. Right now, you have a much better marketing plan because you are getting new audience on one station, and you're taking all the conservatives and uniting them over on KSCO, which hopefully will translate to better ratings for your company.
Glenn, are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a landline.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's very strange. We're getting...
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, but it was breaking up a little bit here.
I'm back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but here you are.
We have a thunderstorm directly overhead, and my power went out for a little bit.
Oh, is that what happened? That's why you dropped off. Okay, so it's not anything that
thunderstorm.
It wasn't anything that we said or did.
No, I don't offend that easily.
Right.
But I do have a question for Glenn.
Sure.
Is it in fact true, and it may be, that conservative people only listen to conservative talk and vice versa?
You're more recent
in the business than I am. I always thought it kind of silly that people of a particular political bent would only want to hear essentially an echo of their beliefs.
Well, if you listen to Michael Savage's or Rush Limbaugh's show, you would believe that. And that is because Michael Savage never, never takes a call that disagrees with him. Very rarely do you ever hear him.
Well, if he takes a call, it doesn't last very long. He ridicules and berates the person immediately.
And then quickly hangs up.
Yeah.
The fact is, I think conservative radio is much more broad-based and is on radio stations around the country that, in general, are much more mass appeal. So I would think that conservative talk radio definitely reaches plenty of liberals. As far as liberal radio reaching conservatives, I don't think, honestly, I'm glad that Radio Air America exists. But at the same time, I don't think they're that great and that entertaining that conservative people are going to give it too much time.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I think the thing about Rush Limbaugh that made him very popular back in the day, 10, 12 years ago, was the fact that he really understood radio as a medium. He's a disc jockey. He understood the timing, the use of music, the use of parodies, and he brought entertainment value to the show. And I think that's where liberal radio has to go if it wants to be mass appeal.
Okay, I agree. I've been listening to Air America since its beginning because I've had it on the satellite on XM. And I can't say that I listen on a daily basis, but I make sure I'm in there every few days and just kind of get a reading on what's going on, and it's been my impression that it's still in the complaining, malingering, putting down, cynical stage, and I don't hear many good ideas, good positive, here's what we believe in, and here's how we believe it would make a better country. I don't hear much of that. I don't hear any of it.
And most importantly, you don't hear on Talk America is fun. Rush Limbaugh had fun, and maybe lesser to extent now.
Much less now.
A lot more serious in his age.
I think Franken tries to pretend that he's having fun, but there's, as I say, there's a cynical undertone to what he does that it just doesn't quite convey the idea.
Now, I will say this. For those people out there who have had a chance to listen to Howard Stern, he's been off of, in this broadcast market, he's been off the air for a while since the San Jose station that had him on took him off, and he went up to a San Francisco station, and now you can't get Howard Stern here in the Monterey Bay listening area. However, I will say this. Having been in New York, I was able to listen to his show, and up until the election, he was really putting down Bush a lot. Namely because he was, under attack by the FCC. But he made a very, very good arguments against Bush, and he did it in a very funny and clever and entertaining way. And Talk America...
Not mean-spirited.
Not mean-spirited, but just funny. Just plain old humor. And I think that's what you need to get a broad audience. And I don't wish Air America ill. I really hope that they're successful, because I think they're the first stab at bringing a new audience to AM talk radio, and I think it's great, and I'm really happy that KOMY decided to become an affiliate, simply because it's going to give you guys a bigger, broader audience for both of your stations, and it'll turn new people onto AM talk radio.
Yeah, Glenn, that makes an awful lot of sense, what you said. It saddens me that this idea of formatic purity, which was advanced by the president of Air America to me over a year ago when I first talked with him, he said, it doesn't cut it. You got to be all liberal or all conservative. You can't be both. And I said, you're crazy. You're going to fail with that kind of an attitude. Guess what? He was right. I was wrong, it looks like.
Well, it's good for your business. Because
yeah,
the fact
it is good for the business.
It's gonna make the conservative people that just want to hear an echo of what they believe, they're going to listen to 1080, and then hopefully a new audience, maybe some of the people that listen to KUSP, are going to start turning over to 1340. And I think the ball now is definitely in your court to promote 1340, because I think right now you probably have a lot of conservatives that are listening to it just to check it out, and a lot of liberals don't even know it's there.
Yeah.
So you guys got to get out there and promote it.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, hey, thanks, Glenn. Great to hear from you.
Take care,
you too. Bye, Kira. Here's Dave Allen, our own Dave Allen. Welcome, Dave. You're on the KSCO special.
Hey.
Hey.
I forgot.
Oh, you forgot? You've been waiting so long, you forgot what you were going to say?
No, actually, Glenn was right on the items he talked about.
Yeah.
And your guest also in the previous guy, Warren.
Yeah.
Libertarian.
Yep.
A lot of things right on. Only one thing, since we're airing laundry.
Yeah.
If I was an advertiser, and I wanted to advertise with the little station, KOMY, I wouldn't like the idea of it being called the little station, the small station. I think it should be what it is, the local station, KSCO, the regional station.
Good point.
That way they're both equally balanced, and they are, one's local, one's more regional.
Yeah, we have our own production director, Billy Graff, on line one here. Let me bring him into the conversation. Here, let me get, I hope Dave isn't gone here. You there, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think we're all together. Bill?
Hi,
how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Hey, I just have one observation, Z, and I think Glenn Fisher may be able to back me up on this. I find it interesting that, people that you pay a lot of money to tell you stuff, and, you don't believe us until you hear it from some other person somewhere else that doesn't really have anything to do with us in our local market.
Like what?
Well, Doug and I have been telling you for years you ought to purify the formats and not mix them up and separate them and try to get a liberal station on one and you never listen to us until, you hear it from somebody we don't even know.
Doesn't have anything
to do with our station.
God, I swear to God, I honestly don't remember. Maybe I was just...
I don't remember that. Doug and I have told you for years.
I love you guys. You guys are wonderful. And I thought I always listened to you, but you're telling me I didn't. Because you've been saying this for a long time.
Well, since I've known you, I've said, you ought to separate the stations and make them have their own identity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, you've said that.
That's not what I thought you were talking about. I thought you were telling me, you're claiming that we should have had a liberal radio station itself. And that's the first time I've heard that out of you today.
No. No, that's not what I meant. For a long time, you know, we've tried to tell you that, you know, you ought to make one all local and one all regional, or, you know, we ought to somehow give them their own voice.
Right.
And
yeah, because Comey has not had its own identity ever since we've had
it. Well, you know,
it's sort of been a bastard stepchild almost.
And,
you know,
and you know, I got to tell you the truth. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of days listening to Air America because I'm the person who's been responsible for getting it on the air and switching properly and all that.
Yeah. So Billy, all you Air America fans, Billy is your true hero.
And you know, I was listening to, and I'm sort of the low key station, you know, non conservative person, right? And I'm listening to some of the things that they were talking about on the Al Franken show the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are these guys talking about? And I wanted you to know, because of your earlier conversation this hour, I wanted you guys to know that not all conservatives believe the entire conservative line. And not all, progressive liberals believe the progressive liberal line. I think we're all individuals and we're all somewhere in the middle.
Well, that's what I like to think, and that's why I rejected that notion of formatic purity when it was first advanced to me by John Sinton, the president of Air America.
Yeah,
he's actually the co-president right now, but with somebody else.
I think, though, that Glenn will tell you that the way we have evolved in this country, you know, it's good radio to hear, to tune in and sort of get an idea ahead of time when you tune in what they're going to be talking about, so you have an already built-in bent on how they're thinking. So even if you're not of a like thinking, you kind of know what you're getting ahead of time.
Right. Okay. Hey.
But anyway,
you called in.
I'm very pleased we have Air America on, and I'm very pleased that it's now switching properly so that people won't tune away just because it's not formatically correct.
Right. Do you think, Bill, that we should have the same rigid requirements for intelligence for people to be permitted to listen to it, that we maintain the strict requirements for KSCO, for KOMY as well?
I think you ought to have about a 60-day period of amnesty when you would allow all levels of intelligence to listen.
Okay.
And then gradually tighten down the standards.
That's fair.
Perhaps
RL, that's a good point.
10 degrees of IQ per week or something. In other words, right now, anybody even with a 50 IQ can tune in, and then you crank it up to 60, 70, 100, and then, you know, level off at about 105, 110.
But in 60 days, you think it should be up to...
RL, then what do we do with the geniuses like all of us?
You're still out in left field, I guess. You're still left without anything to go. No home yet. maybe there'll be a third network.
Ain't got a home. We've hit the homeless update, I think, right? Hey, Billy, thanks for calling.
You bet. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks. Hey, here goes.
I tend to agree with you that you should be able to mix, you know, that an ideal station would have a little bit of everything. However, I think I have to agree with Glenn and the others who made the point that what you're doing is branding, and it's just the way people expect today that, in other words, you go to Amazon for books, and you go to the drugstore for aspirin, and you go to the Ford dealership for Fords and so forth. And I think that's exactly what you're doing. Ideally, the public should be able to sift it all out, but in this busy world in which we live, the average listener doesn't have the awareness of the radio dial that we radio junkies have.
Yes.
And so
how can we fix that?
I think
that?
For the general public, they have to be able to compartmentalize. Okay, well, that station I expect this from, and so forth. Then they've done it in music. You know, few stations today play a variety of music. They play rock, they play country, and they actually play genres of within those broad categories.
Sure.
So I think all you've done here is done in talk what has been done in music, and you're beginning to brand and specify what to expect.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller, Brian in Laguna Seca. You're on the KSCO KOMY Saturday special. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Hey, a couple things. One of them is that I read an article this past week on the Internet. Can't verify its accuracy, that Air America has somehow managed to abscond some of its funding from community charitable organizations in certain parts of the country to fund its programming. And I wondered if maybe they ought to be maybe a PBS type thing instead of trying to be in the commercial radio business.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that, and I think
there's information out there to substantiate the claim that they're taking money away from children's organizations that that use public funding, and you can substantiate or verify it as you wish. But I mean, go do a search and find out what that's about, and then if somebody can tell me how that's good commercial radio, then maybe you got to go down to down to Planned Parenthood and take a $10,000, give it to your station, and promote some more conservative talk radio, because that's what's making this country right. By the way, you had a caller earlier who made the assertion that that conservatives have left the corner of the, on the market for hypocrisy. I thought it was interesting to note the CNS.com or whatever Cybercast news service reporting Ted Kennedy in a much younger version making a completely opposite statement to his position now on questioning Judge Roberts for his history. And I thought, you know, that guy would have to be the whale of hypocrisy and liberalism. And this guy that calls the local liberal talk guy that calls and makes these claims is just a caricature of a liberal.
Are you talking about Billy? Billy Sunshine?
If that's the person that made the claim that the conservatives had the monopoly on hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah.
It's just outrageous and wrong, of course. But, you know, like your guy R.L. says, there's no one party that has the corner on the market for this right and wrong business. But it's somewhere in the middle is civility, I hope, and some way to reconcile the differences.
Right.
But I'm trying to listen to the KOMY, and I can't get any reception on it out here where I'm working. And, I'm interested. I used to listen to Pete Werby and called him several times, and I'm not surprised he's not on the air anymore at your station, but
I don't think he's on the air anywhere.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not mistaken,
he was very weak in the arena of ideas and debate, and couldn't stand on his own two feet in a discussion of issues. But not that I'm any great shakes either, but I think you could do better, and maybe these people that you have on now are something to listen to.
Well, we'll give it a whirl, anyhow. Hey, thanks, Brian.
I know you can't kick up your transmission or anything, but I'd like to hear it.
Well, I think we're going to be able to do. We're not going to kick up our. We're going to work on our signals and ground system where you should be able to get a better signal here pretty soon.
Hey, I went home early and tried to get it on the internet, and the streaming is even worse. I mean, it's impossible to listen to. I don't know if that's.
Oh my gosh! Well, we're going to have to deal with that. It was good every time I tuned in. So maybe you got it a bad time.
It's more buffering than transmission. So I mean, I'm watching.
No,
the
that sounds like it's your connection. If it's a buffering problem,
well, it could be.
Yeah,
could
it definitely
be.
Is.
I'm asking for some help here. If anybody knows what I can do, maybe.
Okay, what's your phone number, Brian? Put it out, and someone will call
I'm out
you.
There. All right.
Okay. See you later. There goes Brian. Now here comes Jan in Scotts Valley, our last caller for the hour. We will take Bob in Scotts Valley. Excuse me, Jan is in San Lorenzo Valley. Bob is in Scotts Valley, but we're going to hold him over till the next hour. Go ahead, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks a lot. I have your programming that you put in the Sentinel that divides out the KOMY and the KSEO. And when I look at it.
Oh, yeah, and the ad from a week or so ago.
Right. And when I look at it from 12 to 1 on KOMY, you put the midday news. Well, we don't have that on the conservative KSCO at noon. We've lost our, if you take Vernon off, we've lost our ability to call in and talk.
Well, to Vernon. But we're not even talking about that right now. We have to deal with that particular problem.
I'm afraid you're going to take Vernon off.
Okay.
And he's our only conservative that we can call in and talk to. So to be fair, you need to switch KSEO 12 to 1 to midday news for conservatives.
Maybe we'll do that.
The other one is basically liberal, and we've lost our ability to communicate.
Okay. Appreciate your calling and letting us know. We will definitely look at that. We're going to move into hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special in 3, 2, 1. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. Here's Fox.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa.
Take you to the second hour of the Saturday Special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Good morning.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. But you'll have to call back. KSCO has
of subjects we're doing today. What do you think is the reason that our country is now the most polarized it has ever been? Everybody agrees on that.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio.
And I do hope people will call in and answer that question. What do you think is the reason that our country is now the most polarized it has ever been? 479-1080 and 477-1340. The phone numbers for you to call to connect to your favorite radio stations. AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY. Michael Z and R.L. Karen co-hosting the Saturday special today. And we'd like to hear from you. We do have open lines at 477, one or two open lines at 477-1340. So give us a call and participate. Before we go back to the phone lines to Rob in Scotts Valley, who we've held over from last hour, we are going to hear our commentary, our latest K's commentary, and we will do that right now.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
If our planet doesn't blow itself up first, history will record that the terrorist's gift to the world has been the suicide bomber, an evil phenomenon which, like the atomic bomb, has the power to destroy the world. When else has a human being made a conscious decision to die first in order to win? The kamikazes? They needed planes. Like an uncontrollable plague, this exercise in self-extinction is spreading to all countries on the globe. What evil minds were capable of inventing this kind of warfare that crosses all boundaries of fair play? The same diabolical religious fanatic leaders who, for almost six decades of fighting with the State of Israel, have shown that by placing their own wives and children in the line of fire, making them expendable, believe, like all extremists, that the end always justifies the means, no matter how barbaric. The world is bewildered about how to deal with suicide bombers. Despite our superior equipment and enormous assets, with the intrusion of political correctness, our country has a difficult time settling wartime differences. Since the Vietnam War, our military has been forced to fight with one hand behind its back. They were taught, above all, to be humane. That's an oxymoron in wartime. The enemy always fights to win. This failed U.S. modus operandi had better change if we're going to survive. Will suicide bombers come to our land? Yes, and any time soon, so long as our physical parameters remain porous. Surely, many illegal Mexicans deserve the right to a better life, but entering legally will keep Americans safer and terrorists must be kept out. What is our president thinking and what is he waiting for? The decision about keeping the borders open, inviting suicide bombers, is deadly. The safety of all Americans must be the first priority of the president. How can we continue to keep our freedom and way of life faced with a vicious enemy who recruits gullible young men brainwashed into being willing, even eager, to die for God and the promise of umpteen virgins waiting for them? Yes, I must be naive and unrealistic, but I could fervently hope that the Islami fascist leaders, the creators of the human bomb, would receive an epiphany and reverse their deadly orders and say to the young bombers, don't do this any longer, or you will go to hell, and there will be no virgins waiting. The terrorists may listen to their mentors, and that may be the only way to stop this global human carnage. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Case Whirling.
Now, how can anybody with any intelligence write a vicious, 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 vicious cartoon about K? I mean, she makes so much sense. It's just done well. Anyhow, welcome back to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. My name is MZ, and we have a special co-host, R.L. Karen, from Naples, Florida, on. You're with us, R.L.?
Hey, Michael, let me take a crack at answering the question du jour, if you will.
Sure.
Your question was, why are we so polarized as a country?
Yes.
Can
I submit that? More so than ever before. Okay, I think everybody will agree with that, I think.
Well, I read things in history where, following the Lincoln-Douglas debates, that the country was more polarized than ever and so forth. But let's say that the premise is true.
Well, in my lifetime, anyhow, and in the lifetime of anybody that I've talked to, everybody agrees, whether they're liberal, conservative, or anything in between.
My suggestion is that we are, in fact, polarized because of the debate that is now going on, that talk radio has had a great effect on getting people involved. Now, I'm old enough to remember beyond a few years ago, and I can tell you that during the outside of the Vietnam War, which obviously involved a lot of people. But beyond that, the debate on the rest of the debate about how this country is run and policy and so forth was not anywhere near as people weren't taking part in that debate, in that side of the debate. And now they are. I think that talk radio has elevated the awareness of people to the point where they are talking about it. It's not quite so much of a taboo today to talk about politics. Remember the old prohibition on talking about, don't talk about politics and religion. I think a lot of people today are willing to talk about politics, especially, and maybe some religion. Certainly.
Yeah, but what's different, RL, is that it seems to me that people who have been friends for years have become enemies over Bush versus Kerry, you know, or Bush versus Gore. And I don't remember that ever being the case before. People could, I think at least in the past, could agree to disagree. But
okay,
that doesn't
so
seem to happen anymore.
Okay, so maybe people are taking the argument too far and taking it too seriously, perhaps. But aren't we still better off with people involved and debating than not?
Because absolutely, but I think they should be involved with debating with each other, not just talking among themselves with this all-liberal talk radio or all-conservative talk radio, and no one wants to talk to anybody else.
Maybe we're just in a phase of the learning process, because, as I say, we went from a country that was rather apathetic, I think,
uh-huh.
20 years ago,
yeah.
about all of it.
Uh-huh.
To now a more open debate. It's not just radio. There's debate on television, blogs, all of these things that we now have at our disposal. Certainly communications being as readily available as they are. We can email one another with ideas and thoughts and so forth.
Technology has enabled us to, theoretically at least, elevate the debate.
But I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
More than it isn't.
I do too.
And I'm saying maybe we're just in a development phase here, and at this stage we're getting mad at one another and overly excited about it, when in fact, as we learn, evolve, and mature in this process, that it will lead to better solutions. Certainly, the Islamic threat, as was just described in your editorial, will take the work of both sides to come to get a grip on this.
So they better at least talk.
So
that's what I think.
I think overall it's okay
with each other, not just among themselves. Anyhow, let's go back to the phone lines. Poor Bob in Scotts Valley has been waiting for such a long time that we should put him on. Hey, Bob, Scotts Valley, how are you?
Hey, I'm just my phone's beeping at me. I'm out of battery.
Oh, no. It's all our fault.
Just kidding.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I agree with you totally on... I saw that cartoon about Kay, and that was horrific, I thought.
Horrific with an H, right? Not T-E-R-R.
What's that?
It was horrific, you think, right?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yes.
But is it okay to make some comments about Air America?
Yes.
You know, I've been... you know, of course, I'd heard about it whenever it started up a little over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't anywhere local, and I was actually interested to see when you guys announced that you were going to be having it. And I have to say, you know, I'm sort of you know, I sort of would lean towards an O'Reilly kind of guy, and also enjoy the morning post in the San Francisco station.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's both of those guys actually talk about issues in a intelligent and calm way. And to me, when I listen to Air America, if you listen on Monday morning, that'll do you for 3 days. Because tomorrow, it's just going to be basically the same topic and the same rant, if you will.
Yeah.
Your caller earlier who said it was like a broken record, I would have to agree with. You know, and yesterday evening, I heard, what's her name, Jeannie Garofalo?
Yeah.
My God, I just happened to turn it on at the beginning of her show, and I was astounded that she went on for I don't know how many minutes in almost a tirade of, not talking about any issues or topics, basically just throwing out insults is how I felt.
Hmm.
So, you know, whereas even, O'Reilly would talk about, he would actually talk about, news topics of the day. And I didn't feel the Air America people, I think they just, if you listen once, you could hear the same thing again tomorrow.
Well, maybe we should let Air America hosts know that they should be encouraged to listen to this broadcast, which will be posted on the web
later
today.
Yeah, there you go. And, it's interesting, two last little comments is, one, back whenever it was, 2-3 years ago, when you had Chris Krohn on at noon.
Yeah.
And as I recall, the situation was one where it was like there was some grace period of 2 or 3 months, and then they actually had to pony up.
Uh-huh.
And nobody ponied.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Also, I did make note that on the day of the London bombing, every television station, every radio station was carrying the talk of the bombings in London, and Air America was talking about Karl Rove and Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for bringing all this up.
I enjoy your station, and it's great for local stuff.
I appreciate the kind words, Bob.
Okay.
Take care now. There goes Bob in Scotts Valley. Here comes Rod in Santa Cruz will be our next caller on the KSCO Saturday special with RL and MZ. Hey, Rod, you're on the air.
Hey, MZ. How's it going?
Good.
I wanted to comment about the change in format on the KSCO. Phil Henry is playing on the afternoon spot. I guess he comes on at what time?
No. Yes. Yeah, on from 4 to 7.
On both stations.
For a while he was. Yeah, we've been in a transition, so silly things were done, foolishly.
I've been a listener to the station for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Since you guys reformatted things, and the value and just the conservative perspective in the mix of things. Michael Savage had that time slot on the Watsonville station between 3 and 6:30, I think it was.
Yeah.
And, I know that...
it was 4 to 7, actually. It was 4 to 7, yeah.
I know some people would, disagree and be, offended with some of his poignancy and sometimes just cutting people off. I see a real value. I know it's been a real value for me to listen to him, even given that trait that he has sometimes.
You can still listen to him. Rod, because we have him on from 8 to 10 p.m. and have had for many years.
Right.
On KSCO.
I realize that.
And the only reason we don't have him on the KOMY station now is because it's inappropriate for him to be on a liberal radio station.
Pure
and simple.
I understand
But we
that.
Haven't, we haven't gotten rid of Savage. He's right where he's always been on KSCO 1080.
Right. And my comment has to do with, I heard some people comment that he doesn't take calls from people that, disagree with his view. But if somebody's got a rooted argument with some logic behind it, and they're articulate, I think that, they can challenge him, and the best time to do that would be, in my opinion, to air the slot when he's broadcasting it live from the studio and have people with opposing points of view call in with thoughtful
I don't understand. Comments. Forgive me, Rod. I don't understand the difference. You know, if he either engages people with opposing points of view, or he doesn't, and I say that he doesn't. End of story, whether he's on live or whether he's on 2 days delayed.
Well, I think you need some feedback on that, then.
Okay. Well, yeah. we'll put it out. Thanks for bringing it up.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye. Okay, John in Santa Cruz, you're next on the KSCO Saturday Special. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hey.
I'm a 1960 listener to KSCO. I've grown up here in Santa Cruz. I'm really thankful for the way you folks have taken the station. For Rush Limbaugh, and now listening to some to the other side. And although I think that we get a good laugh of hearing how both people talk about each other and bring topics and get clips of what their programs are for and what they stand for. And as to your polarization problem, it's the anger and the disgust that is out there that is dividing our world. At least United States.
Well, there hasn't been anger and disgust before?
Well, there has, but it's getting really bad. I mean, you can't listen to a political statement from one side or the other that is not poignant and just directly biting at the feet. I mean, the touting or the talking saying Bush is, you know, stupid, but yet he's got all these diabolical plans. I just can't stand that.
Well, I'm sorry.
I think we're dealing with a lot of things here locally that need to be brought up. I'm going to drive down Highway 1 right now, and it's going to be locked up in our town. You know, that freeway was designed in the 40s, and nothing's been done about it.
Yes, because doing something about it would induce growth. Oh my God, induce growth. We can't induce growth. Oh my God, no.
All the people want to do is get through.
They get hysterical.
I'm driving through on a Saturday, last Saturday, from Watsonville, going down to the Home Depot down there, and I'm locked up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking and seeing the cars next to me, sitting with my father-in-law, who's from South Dakota, but he's been here since the 30s. He's saying, he can't believe, you're looking and you see the people that live here. You know, not just people traveling through Oakland, that's just our people trying to get to 41st
yeah.
Avenue, to Santa Cruz, to Scotts Valley, and we can't get anywhere.
Well, it's more congested than the Bay Area, I'll tell you that, way more. RL, listening to all this, doesn't it make you happy that you don't live here anymore?
Well... Yeah. This area here is a lot like Santa Cruz in some ways.
Where are you at, sir?
I'm in Naples, Florida.
Oh.
I'm in a coastal town as well, and this could be the mirror image of Santa Cruz in the sense that this is a much more conservative area. But the debate rages on here as well. Unfortunately, not so on the radio. And I meant to bring this up later, but I'll do it now. I'm not sure that the people who live in that area, Santa Cruz area, appreciate what they have in your two stations, Michael. We are similar populations. I think we are at 300,000, I believe, Santa Cruz County, about the same. Coastal community, and so forth. Resort, beaches. We don't have a local AM station programmed locally here at all. We have AM stations. They're programmed from somewhere else. For instance, when a hurricane went past here a little while ago, we had no news on the air, none whatsoever on radio. And what programming we do have, as I say, is all canned. Most of the FM stations are automated with a music format. And the AM stations, I mean, I bet I can hear Sean Hannity on four places on the dial. But there is no local programming. We don't have a local live morning show. We don't have a Saturday special. We have no local political debate whatsoever. So
I'm thankful that we have here Mike and Rob. I'm I'm going to be driving by Paso Campo, and I'm going to lose the signal.
You must have Verizon then.
Oh, yeah. Is that the bad one?
Well, that's the one that loses the signal just about everywhere. Used to be really good, but it's really bad now.
I want to thank you. You'll hear from me again. I'm glad to be around here. I've raised four sons. My son just returned from St. Petersburg, Florida. He's in the Coast Guard out there.
Uh-huh.
And now he's stationed at what they call Station Vacation in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, okay.
A nice station there. Well,
our best to him, and thank you for the kind words, Santa Cruz John. Now, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I hold here in my never nicotine-stained hands, maybe a little pot when I was a college student, but never nicotine, the facts from a robot at mbay.net, a.k.a. Brian Burleson. This is a great fax. It says, subject, liberals are amoral degenerates. Please feel free to speak your mind here, Brian. Liberals are aminals. Callers like Billy are proof of that. Billy claims liberals are, quote, nicer. Tell that to the worthless liberal savages that vandalized my vehicle because of the conservative bumper stickers on it. Tell that to the neo-Marxist pukes who shouted anti-Bush slogans while the college Republicans at Cal State University Monterey Bay were reading off the names of the 9/11 victims. Read some of the signs at many of the peace, in quotes, protests. Liberals are worthless pukes, again from Brian Burleson.
Well, you can only hope that people like that grow out of the simplistic phase and become more adept debaters.
Yes.
Too many people still will, as I say, tune into a Sean Hannity or Al Franken and just parrot or repeat the phrases, the cliches. And they think that constitutes intelligent political debate,
uh-huh.
Just arguing the extremes, the edges of the issue, when in
yes.
fact the whole purpose here is to arrive at a workable solution that has elements of both sides.
Do you think I'm irresponsible for even reading such facts as RL?
No, I think pointed out, and as I say,
use it as an example. Huh?
Not making fun of this individual, but trying to encourage him to elevate himself beyond this very simplistic and obviously dead wrong analysis that all liberals are this.
Are amoral degenerates.
All conservatives are that.
Yeah. By the way, Brian, we would really appreciate it if you would call. Call in. We have open lines at 479-1080 and 477-1340.
It's okay to think that way, but only if you're a third or fourth grader. And as you grow in your body of knowledge, in your ability to discuss issues, then you broaden the debate, and you start looking at things from above.
Here's another fax, this one from Angry Landon in Capitola, regarding Error America and Billy B.S. Sunshine. If Billy B.S. is such a proponent of Error America, then I'm sure he'll want to provide a level support in the form of dollars. Simply put, Billy B.S., put up or shut up. Okay. Next. Go ahead, R.L.
One, I don't remember much from my teen and early 20 years, but someone told me back then that they said, you can tell the level of debate and the quality of the discussion by what they are talking about. If they're speaking about ideas, they are at the highest level of debate. If they're speaking about objects and things, they are at the middle level. And if they are talking only about people, then they are at the lowest level. And unfortunately, too much of the political debate today centers around an individual. For instance, Karl Rove is the devil du jour, and he's evil. As if getting rid of Karl Rove or yanking his credentials or his security clearance would suddenly make this country a better place. It's stupidity. And unfortunately, I think Air America has so far focused itself too much on individuals.
Yeah.
And you know who they are. It's Rumsfeld, it's Bush, it's Cheney, it's Rove. And if we just could get rid of all of those people, the world would be a better place to live.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Big Gun Gordy in Boulder Creek, you are on the KSCO, KOMY Saturday Special with MZ and
good
RL.
Good morning,
hey.
Good morning, good morning. Backing up what was just said by RL, This our side, your side, conservative versus liberal, is not a valid paradigm. It doesn't fit reality. And this gives forth that anxiety and rage and all these other emotions. Things should be issue-oriented that brings in full illumination of the topics, not this one side or two-sided stuff. We need to go nonpartisan. We need to break up these infantile teams that you be on one side or the other. That's just stupidity. And it does cause problems. At your station now, you've tried to, or both stations now, you've tried to identify them as liberal or conservative. I think this is a big mistake. You need to open it up. You need to broaden the playing field here to get in the good ideas that are left out when you choose up with a team.
Well, I agree with you, actually, and but we can't get people of one persuasion to listen to people of the other persuasion at all.
As we mentioned earlier, I think it's necessary to brand both sides. Within that building on Portola Drive, you have that diversity. Yeah, we've categorized one frequency in this manner and the other frequency in that manner, but within that building now exists a broad range of debate, and that's the good thing.
I'm afraid we might lose that. That's my anxiety. I'm afraid we might lose that if things continue to go to a more polarized nature where KSCO is seen as the conservative station and KOMY is seen as a liberal station.
Well, we'll see what the ratings say in 3 months.
Well, you have to get people's attention before you can engage them, and that's what's happening right now.
Oh, I agree, but like a bar fight, you got two people there that are beating on each other, and if you try to step in and break the fight up, you're the one that's going to get pounded. So, be very careful.
Okay, Gordy.
Keep it open and not try to pigeonhole, as I sent a fax to Vernon yesterday about this. And don't pigeonhole. Don't try to...
I really don't like to do that, but that's what the world is like. I'm sorry to say. Anyhow, thanks for your call. It was Big Gun Gordy. Now let's go to Ringing on line two. Hello, Ringing. Hello, who is this? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Who is this?
Okay, yeah. You got any time?
Sure, who is it? You're on the air. Who is it?
Okay, I was going to ask the guest.
Who is it? What's your name?
Carl.
Hi, Carl. Where are you calling from?
San Jose.
Okay. You're on. You want to ask RL?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask him about if he'd listened to Glenn Beck. You were talking about the entertainment quality, or someone was, about Rush Limbaugh, and this guy is like a fan. In fact, he does stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I
wondered if he'd heard him and what he thought about it, and they do a lot of parodies. I think I started listening to it a while ago, and I thought it's quite entertaining.
Yeah, I think Glenn works out of Tampa, or Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But yes, I hear him because he's on one of the satellite channels as well. Yes, I think he takes an occasional lighthearted way. He's fairly predictable in his politics, which
I think is
somewhat of a detriment, but yeah, he's captured the idea of not making light of things, but just looking at things in a less serious way. He doesn't get overly bent up.
Once I'd hear him saying stuff kind of inspirational.
Yeah.
About what people can do and uplifting things too. Have you ever heard him talking like that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's a reformed
kind of
alcoholic.
A more spiritual way.
And sometimes references that, and that's good. That's okay.
I wondered, I heard Mike last week talking about the importance of the ratings and how Medved didn't have the rating in its relation to getting national advertisers and things like that. Where do you get these ratings? Is this available to anybody on the internet? Or
anybody who's willing to pay for it.
Okay.
Actually, I think the 12 plus ratings are available on the internet. Am I right, RL?
Yes, they still are. Arbitron.
Yeah.
What are the top ones? I mean, I know Beck says that, I've heard him say that in some markets he was above Limbaugh. You know, what are the top ones?
Well,
is it Limbaugh, Hannity?
It's like saying how much is a red dress. I mean, it's different everywhere, and there are different.
Oh, I see.
So
you see, for you in Santa Cruz, what do you care about Florida or Philadelphia? How do you gauge it? Just by the Bay Area ratings or what?
No, by the Santa Cruz radio market. It's a radio market that's defined as Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and it's about 500,000 in population.
Mm-hmm. But when you pull in somebody like Air America or some national personality, and you're saying you're going for national advertising, what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for more ears listening to either one of our stations.
Mm-hmm.
And when the same owner owns two or more stations, they are allowed to put together for advertising audience research data purposes,
mm-hmm.
the ratings or the audience. You can combine the audience from each of the radio stations. And
yeah,
remember earlier when Glenn Fisher was pointing out that, you know, for years we were essentially competing with ourselves, you know, by not having anything different really on our own station. Now we do have something different on our own station, and it's going to bring in a whole new set of ears. And presumably and hopefully, when you put the numbers together, it'll add up to a much more significant number than it had before, and it will raise the eyebrows of the national advertising agencies.
Uh-huh.
No.
Where is the other talk? I heard something on 540. Maybe you don't want to talk about other stations.
I don't want to talk about other stations. I don't want to talk about other stations. Thank you. Okay. Mike in Santa Cruz, you're next.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I think that the reason the nation is so polarized is that I think people feel that like there's a clear choice, a much clearer choice, and very definite decisions have to be made. And I don't think it was as clear-cut 20 years ago as it is today. Terrorism has changed the way we view things,
mm-hmm.
at least the way some people do.
Sure.
And I think that there's another thing going on, and that is the domination of the mainstream media is basically over. And I think that's...
good point. What do you think, R.L.?
Oh, he's absolutely right.
Right on the money, I think.
I could spew off statistics, but we all know that the influence of NBC, CBS, and ABC is greatly diminished over what it was. The New York Times is still a prominent newspaper, but it's nowhere near as influential as it used to be. And we could go on and on. Sure, it's a much more diverse market out there. We all have the ability to become effective communicators. That definitely has changed. And as I say, I think more people are involved today in the social debate, whatever it may be, than ever before.
Okay, so the short version of what I feel about it is that the polarization is a good thing.
I made that point about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, and I think it's very positive that these things are being talked about and that these things aren't subtly just pushed through without discussion, which is basically what the mainstream media did.
Interesting point.
I qualified my statement that the polarization was a good thing by saying it should evolve, though, to some higher level where the result is good solutions.
Well,
but I've never remembered a time when Bush versus Kerry would turn friends into enemies. See, that's what I've observed.
Well, I would guess that has happened throughout history.
I think it's more pronounced now.
I think back to Reagan Carter when Carter and Reagan ran together, and I didn't see it being as polarizing. But I think the stakes are higher, and I think people realize it now. And even when Reagan got elected, he had Democratic Senates and Houses to deal with, and that gave the liberals a more comfortable feeling, even though they had a Republican president that they didn't like.
Yeah, we're just more aware because of the media and the easy availability of instant pictures and sound from anywhere in the country. We're just more aware. It could have been back in 1950 that there was a violent debate or bar fight over whether to elect Eisenhower or Stevenson. However, we never heard about it. Today, they're guests on a TV talking head show.
But my last point would be that I think that things have become more conservative than we really appreciate. If you look at what's happened in the last 3 years in terms of elections, California, liberal California, threw out Gray Davis on his keister, and now Arnold Schwarzenegger may not be a raging right-winger, But for California, he certainly is. And some of the things he's trying to do in terms of the unions.
California has a long history of having Republican governors. It's still It's still a very liberal state.
Well, yes, it is. But I think, and if you look at the propositions, the liberals did not have, the Democrats and liberals did not have a good time in California. If you look at the propositions, they've lost ground. Now they didn't. I'm not saying that the Republicans had a big sweep in California. Not at all. But the Democrats certainly didn't have any gain. And this country is becoming more conservative, and it's got people like mainstream Santa Cruz, if you want to call such a thing, running scared. And I think it's great because I think they're crazy. And I'm so relieved to know, I get out of Santa Cruz enough to know that Santa Cruz is an enigma, and thank God.
Well, the traditional Democrat constituencies, black people, went from 5% to 13% of the vote.
Yep.
Mexican Americans increased their percentage on the conservative side by 5 or 6 points. The Jewish vote, which was almost always 5, 6, 7% Republican, is up to 25%.
Well,
the Democrats lost percentage in all categories but young people and single women.
Yep.
And so, sure, the country. Now, is that, does that mean that the Democrats are forever banished to the Siberia?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, because if nothing else, the Republicans will find a way to mess it up.
Yeah.
Well, that's really what we're up to. Gentlemen, we
have to move on. We have to do a commercial break here, and we got some more callers to take. So, Mike, thanks for calling
and participating
on the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Okay, we will take a commercial break. Back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and I and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Doug Winfrey here, co-host of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio show. If you missed our last Business Builder training session, you've got another opportunity. We'll be covering the same material again next Monday, August 1st. So join Connie Reeder and myself for another training session on building your home-based business. We'll be meeting this time at the Compliments Fitness Center, 339 Melody Lane in Old Town Salinas at 6:30 p.m. Seating is limited, so call me, Doug Winfrey, at 831-335-8054 or Connie Reeder at 831-422-3400. To reserve your spot.
Judy DeVilbiss here. By the way, people that are on the go, I know they tell me it's very, very hard to take the liquids with them when they go on their trip to get their supplements in every day. Well, you know something? There's a very, very convenient way to do it. You can use the Ultimate Daily Tablets and the Mineral Capsules. I do it myself. When I'm going on a trip, if I have enough room, I just take the two bottles with me. If not, just use a little baggie and take a couple of daily doses with you. It's very simple. It's very easy. There's no mess, no fuss, no refrigeration. Just take your capsules, take your tablets, and you're finished for the day. I like to do mine three times a day. That's what you should do. 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Or you can just go online to my website at judy.ksco.com. A very convenient way to order. Do it now. 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500.
Doug Winfrey here, co-host of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio show. If you missed our last Business Builder training session, you've got another opportunity. We'll be covering the same material again next Monday, August 1st. So join Connie Reeder and myself for another training session on building your home-based business. We'll be meeting this time at the Compliments Fitness Center, 339 Melody Lane in Old Town Salinas at 6:30 p.m. Seating is limited, so call me, Doug Winfrey, at 831-335-8054 or Connie Reeder at 831-422-3400. To reserve your spot.
Hi, this is Bill.
Back to the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
I said, hi, this is Bill.
Hi, this is Michael.
Right. Hey, Michael. We're in the home stretch of the Saturday special for today. Golly, this is almost the last day of the month. It's July 30th, 2005.
What happened to July?
What did happen to it? It went away. It fleeted away while we were right in front of our eyeballs. Okay, let's see, RL in Florida, are you still with us?
sure am.
Good. Okay, I'm going to lock you in here. Do I see Walt in Aptos as our next caller? Can this be Walt in Aptos?
Hello, this is Walt.
You know, Walt, I was afraid that you had died or something.
Yeah, I died. You turned me off a couple of years ago.
What happened? Well, what turned you back on?
I got in late, just like today.
Yeah.
And you had Richard on the line, and I was talking to you, and you cut me off, and that was the last time I ever called back.
Oh, well, something must have changed.
You didn't
hear Richard today. Is that
I
what changed?
I want to make a suggestion.
Go ahead.
The time frame on the radio station, to a lot of people, is very important. I have made suggestions more than once on your morning show on KSCO and said, give the time. The first time I said that, we can't do that because this program is rebroadcast. And I called back the second time, and I said, you know, the time, they should give the time as many times as they can. I won't mention the popular San Francisco station that does it, but if you want to get on the station and know what time it is, just call that station in San Francisco. And I think you'd improve your listenership a lot if you would just concentrate on giving the time as many times as you can in the morning, because people listen for that.
And the weather, too, huh? And the traffic.
I don't know about the weather. All I'm saying is that time for a lot of people, everybody, is very important.
Okay.
And I don't know the way they do it in San Francisco, but they give the time almost more than once every minute.
Right.
And I
do think that's a good suggestion, and we're going to have to tell everybody here that they're going to have to give the time more frequency, frequently.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I had to say something. I'm glad you listened.
Oh, that's all you called about?
That's all.
Oh,
you used to
call to complain about Dr. Wallach years ago.
Oh, I complained. Dr. Wallach is money in your pocket. There's nobody can complain about Dr. Wallach that you're going to listen to ever.
Oh.
Well, like I say, that's part of your income, and I don't blame you for it, too. I do the same thing, because that's become a very, very popular...
And for good reason, because the products really work. But anyhow, but thank you, Walt. I'm happy you're not dead, seriously.
Okay.
Good. I was worried that he was... Yeah, because he was pretty old about 8 years ago, and then he didn't show up anymore, and, you know... Well, anyhow, here, listen to this for a second.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
All right. Yeah. Now, who's on next here? Who is this? Hello? Oh, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
You know what I'd love to hear?
What?
It's podcasts.
Well,
if you were to podcast the embassy,
RL, okay, we're going
to
do that, but not the Saturday special.
Yeah, no, that's what I would. You stepped on me. That's what I was saying.
Sorry.
The Saturday
okay.
special, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, and because you know what, it's Saturday morning. I'm running around, and I get 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there of your show. But during the week, I have time to listen at work.
Well, RL has months and months worth of Saturday specials that neither of us know how he got, but it got into his iPod somehow, right, RL?
Yep, sure did. I had to say this quietly when I was in the radio business, but I have been saying for years, why should people have to wait for 12 noon or 10 a.m. on Saturday to hear the Saturday special? It should be available on demand to those who want it at any time. And finally, the technology has caught up now with my idea. I had no idea how this would ever evolve, but it's here now, and the technology exists to listen to programs when it's convenient for you. I go out walking every day. I always have my, it's not an iPod, but it's a cheap imitation of one. And
yeah.
I listen to all manner of stuff. I have
a Rio. It's not as big as an iPod, but what I do is I download. I actually set up my computer to record the radio shows that I like, and then I load them onto my MP3 player, and then I have them there. And when I'm driving, I'll put them on. I'll listen to the half hour show, the hour show while I'm driving.
So
and
it
it's very
like,
convenient for
it sounds
me.
Like you're already doing that then, right?
Yes, but you know what? It would be so much easier if there was just an iPod or a podcast on your site, and that my little piece of software can go out there and grab it, and then it's sitting right there on my desktop ready for me to go.
Right.
Rather than try to set up the internet connection.
I would think you could set that up and make that available, Michael.
Yeah, for premium KSCO.com members.
Sure. Premium.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'm grandfathered in because I've been listening for a long time.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't forget the embassy, because I like to hear the embassy, but he's just at a wrong time. I'm in church.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, we'll have to pull Cyril off at that time. And what am I hearing? Is that you, Jim? Are you in a real noisy place?
I'm on the highway, and it's not that noisy because it's going very, very slow as usual.
Oh, okay.
It's the weekend during the summer.
All right, well, thank you for calling.
Okay, great.
Talk to you again. Hey, that opens up all the lines. Ladies and gentlemen, would you believe it? For the first time today, all lines except the line RL is on from Florida are idle. Idle. I-D-L-E.
I-D-O-L.
Yeah.
Hey, but, Michael, I have a question that I've been meaning to ask you. Is my memory correct that you took KOMY as a dead station? Wasn't it off the air when you bought it?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
and
right.
we gave it a transmitter site.
Okay, well, you know, I think then that's
how we brought it back to life. It had been off the air. It had been dark since I think it was April of 1990.
Wow.
And we brought it back on the air like within days of when the frequency would have turned into a pumpkin and would have had to have been turned back to the FCC.
Well, I think that's significant then that now, finally, through this evolution that it's gone through, that it has now assumed its own identity completely independently of KSCO. I think that's worth noting.
It certainly is, and thank you for noting it.
For all of those who vilified you over the years for running all this right-wing programming, it at least spawned a counterpart.
Well, but you see, for the first 5 or 6 years, RL, we were vilified very inappropriately because I really bent over backwards for probably the first 6 or 7 years to have balanced hosts even.
I don't think there's any...
And the very fact that we carried Rush Limbaugh was enough. Some people are just so rigid that if 99.999% of your programming is for them, but 0.0001 is not, then they're going to hate you, and because it's not 100%.
Well, again, if all you can do in politics and in the civic debate is to put other people down for expressing their perspective, then you're lost. If that's the best you can do is try to suppress the other side, then you're not contributing anything. And unfortunately, to some people, that's where it's at. It's stealing newspapers that campuses are famous for that.
Ooh.
At Dartmouth, there's the Dartmouth Review is an off-campus, but it's a college newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And just recently, again, the mobs from on campus went and raided all the newspaper machines because there was something that was offensive. Is that really what we're about?
Yeah.
To suppress? And what do you have to
do? That really brings to mind something that I wanted to get into today. And it's we're at the tail end of the program. There's less than 5 minutes left. But ladies and gentlemen, please listen up, okay? Send me an email if you would be interested in helping KSCO do this, okay? Who would get behind a movement to call attention to the political intolerance of U.S. colleges and universities? Specifically, I'm talking about marching in demonstration against this practice at UC Santa Cruz and UC Berkeley. Okay? What a great idea that was advanced on a radio program a couple of years ago, and I think I want to do it. I want to spearhead that.
Protest marches are okay because they can draw attention to an issue. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with shouting down. And this happens on campuses all the time. If a speaker is of a different political persuasion, they will shout it down or pick
ridicule
the event.
Them as a student. The professor will ridicule a student.
Try to prevent people from attending. I keep saying, what do you have to fear from the other side? Are you so vapid in your basic convictions that you cannot stand the idea that somebody might disagree with you? That's not evolving into a citizen worth listening to.
I love the sound of the void you just used, vapid, but I don't know what it means.
Empty.
That's all it is?
Yep.
I loined a new void. That's good. That's great. Yeah. It reminds me of the time I was playing Scrabble with my Uncle George in Brooklyn. And I had T-U-R-D, you know, that I put down. And he said, what's toid?
Toid.
And I told him what it was. It's a piece of dung. And he said, oh, I loined a new void. And then I sprayed, I was a practical joker, and I had this, you know, disappearing ink, and I sprayed it all over his white shirt, and he said, oh, and he was horrified. So I hope it doesn't ruin my shite. So anyhow, hey, there's only 4 minutes left, and the lines are open. If you want to call, you got just a couple minutes left at 479-1080 or 477-1340. What do you think is going to happen, RL? What do you think is going to happen?
To what specifically?
It's just like the website. I mean, it's just sort of a vapid question I just asked you, because we have a question on our website poll that says, do you believe? Yes, no, or maybe.
Do you believe in just, that's it, open-ended?
That's all it says, yeah. And if you go to the website, I mean, a lot of people have answered yes, no, or maybe.
That's either very profound or very vapid.
Right. Here's someone named Ringing who's calling. Hello, Ringing, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to share something with you.
Is this Neil?
Yes, it is.
I'm good with voices. Huh?
I realize time is short, so I wanted to get right to the point.
Yes.
Rusty Rhodes was criticizing Ann Coulter because, as you probably know, she's very svelte. And do you know that void? But I digress. Anyway,
yeah, I do know that void.
Okay.
Great, thanks.
She wears sometimes a man's white shirt over slacks. And Rusty Rhodes was criticized.
Randy Rhodes, damn it, Randy.
Oh, who?
It's not Rusty Rhodes, it's Randy Rhodes.
Oh, Randy.
Spelled R-A-N-D-I, but
must have been a Freudian slip there. Yeah. But anyway, she was claiming that Ann Coulter's boobs are too small. That was her big complaint, that a woman has to truly not be a woman to wear a man's shirt, blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, I'm trying out your new format, and she is now attacking a conservative woman who, she said, gains weight while you look at her. And she said, I just have one piece of advice to this woman. Weight Watchers, it works. So I find this interesting that from the left's perspective,
that is sort of
you're
funny.
You're too thin, you're too fat. I mean, whatever it is, whatever a conservative happens to be, it's not right and worthy of ridicule. But when you're ridiculing a person's physical attributes, it's less than sophomoric, it's juvenile.
Yeah, well, for as long as that is central to the Democrat debate, then they will not be winning elections anytime soon.
But Billy Sunshine claims that, left-wing radio is kinder and gentler. I don't know, maybe I'm listening to the wrong station, but I haven't heard this.
Okay.
I think they're all animals.
Yeah, they're all animals. I don't know if there's time to read this. Thank you, Neil.
Sure.
Nice to hear from you. Neil is the person, I believe, who once characterized my mother as Paul Harvey with a vagina, if I'm not mistaken. To MZ from Stephen Watsonville, the more important question might not be why our country is so polarized, but why is it so easy to divide us nowadays? Possible reasons. One's decades of Hollywood movies casting American business, the police, CIA, and other government forces in the role as villains. Two, decades of our schools diminishing the concept of an American melting pot culture while pushing a preference for separate ethnic groups. Three, decades of American media treating government leaders of both parties as rivals for controlling public opinion, rivals which must be stripped of all credibility with trash journalism. And after all that, the remaining question is, why aren't we even more polarized? Hopefully there's still a strong reservoir of common sense resisting such manipulations.
I think it's all radio's fault.
Yeah.
I think all radio should be shut down immediately.
Yes, hey, RL, thanks very much for being with us. That's the end of the program. It was great.
Here is Kay Zwirling.
Oh, no. Here, this is what we... No. Back there, here, this one. Here's Fox News on KSEO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville.
That's the understatement of the day coming from Japanese astronaut Soichi Noguchi. Quote, what a view. He and NASA's Steve Robinson performing a six-hour spacewalk, the first of three. Of great interest down here on Earth, the performance in zero gravity of brand new shuttle tile repair techniques using putty knives and